So I bring you greetings from the West Coast. I was away last weekend and I missed you all. I was sort of on a working vacation. I went out to Seattle, actually north of Seattle, in a city or a town called Anacortes, where my brother and sister-in-law live very near there. And preached a mission for the regional Catholic community there. We had a little fire rally. Faith on Fire, it was called. So I was there, and it's a very interesting region, you know. Along the coast there, it stays cool all the time in the Puget Sound. It's in the 50s and 60s at night, and probably no more than 70 degrees during the day. And then on the other side of the mountains from there, across the Cascades in Ellensburg, it was 104 degrees. So, and then in between, I was up on Mount Baker and had a snowball fight with my nieces and nephews. See, there's still a lot of snow up there in the high elevations. So quite a variety of climate going on within a very, very narrow area. But I bring you greetings. I want to say today that the readings today, the Lord is teaching us again in parables, and He wants us to look into our heart and answer honestly a very important question, and that is, what is most valuable to you? And remember, I know how we should answer the question. Oh, God is the most important thing. I know that. That's the sought-for answer. But what the Lord wants is the honest answer. And He wants us to look into our heart and really ask that question, really, honestly, what is my pearl of great price? What is that hidden treasure that I would give everything I owned to have? Is it really God and the kingdom of heaven, or is it something else, or a collection of other things? You know, we have something in this country called the American Dream. And the American Dream has basic facets that go something like this. You have a nice house. These days, it's got to be 3,500 square feet or bigger, with the great room and the tray ceiling and the master bedroom and the ensuite. And we want to have the car and we want the job and, you know, the American Dream. And I'm telling you, people get a hold of that dream and that vision, and we work hard for it. We go to college. We spend a lot of money. We go into debt just to lay hold of that American dream. And there's nothing sinful or evil or terrible. But what's interesting is how hard we will work for something that's going to pass away, and how little we will work for something that will remain forever. And so the Lord warns elsewhere in the scriptures. He says, be careful. And don't store up treasure for yourself on earth, but store up treasure in heaven. Because I'm telling you, he says, where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. And so again, we're back to the question, what really is most valuable to you in this world? Again, the honest answer, not the way we should answer it, but the way that we honestly must answer it. And again, let's be honest. Most of us struggle to really desire what God is offering above all things. We struggle with that. Our hearts are tortured. They are divided. So easily they are rooted in the flesh and in the lust of this world. And that's the struggle. And all the saints basically say the same thing. They say, look, the battle is a battle about desire. What really do you want? Do you really want God or the world? Well, how about both? See? You want the world. And the Bible says a friend of the world is an enemy to God. What if a man said, and his wife said, do you love me or that other woman? Can I have both? It's called adultery. And so the book of James that I just quoted from says, a friend of the world is an enemy to God. Oh, ye adulterers! See, our heart is so easily divided. And the struggle for us is to allow our heart to be set right by God. Now, let's just take a look at a few of the pieces of this gospel. The first thing I'd like to offer you is two pictures of the kingdom of heaven. And the Lord offers them here, the picture or the image of buried treasure, and then also the image of the pearl. Now, it's a little complicated because, well, let's just begin to look first at the buried treasure. There's a man who found treasure buried in a field, and he hid that treasure and went and sold everything that he had and bought that field. In other words, he also acquired that treasure. Now, what's a little bit puzzling about this image is that the kingdom of heaven is not something that we're usually told to hide. And yet the Lord is saying, the man found the treasure and he hid it back in the soil and went and bought everything, or sold everything to buy that field. Now, why does the Lord refer to the kingdom of heaven with the image of hidden treasure and then instruct us to be like this man who hides that treasure? So what's going on here? The hidden place, and Scripture speaks of this hidden place frequently as that hidden place called our heart. That hidden place where you and I live, that inner place, a place nobody else can see, is hidden. And we need to go there and be alone with God. There's just that hidden place that we all need. That place where we go and honestly sit alone with God and God with us. And we have those honest, hidden, and very confidential conversations. And so this hidden place, the Lord is saying, the kingdom of heaven wants to be buried. In other words, put deep into your heart. I, the Lord, am your treasure, and I want to be, if you pardon the expression, buried. That is to say, placed deep in that hidden place in you called your heart. And so this image is a very powerful image of this intimacy that the Lord seeks with us. He wants access not just to our hip pocket or to our shirt pocket. We just pull it out and quote the word to a few people and live. He doesn't want to just live on the surface of our life. Are you praying with me? The Lord wants access to that deep and hidden place that's called our heart. And when the Lord begins to work there in your life, you really begin to resonate and see how powerful His presence is, how deep His designs, how powerful. That, Lord, You are the desire of the everlasting hills. Lord, You are the one I desire. So the Lord wants to have us experience the treasure, the glory, the beauty of knowing Him, and to experience it in such a way that we will forsake everything else just to go and be with Him. And we'll start praying not because we have to pray, but because we want to pray. And we'll start reading His Word not because somebody shamed us into doing it, but because we love to hear from our God, and that hidden place in our heart is coming alive. And so you see, this is an image for the kingdom, a heart that's coming alive and knowing God and loving God more powerfully and more profoundly, that thirsts for God, that longs for God, that enjoys being with God, that loves to pray, that loves to read His Word, that loves to serve and care for His people and praise Him. Oh, church, do you love to praise Him? See? Or are we just here checking off the God box? Yeah? See? So you see the vision? So that hidden place, that's a that's an important signal for us, what the Lord's talking about here. The hidden place that Scripture calls our heart. That inner place where you live. That inner place where your heart and your mind are. Where you make decisions. Where you ponder and you pray. Where the Lord has access to the deepest part of who you are. The second image is an image of a pearl. And here too, there's a biblical background to the image of a pearl. Pearl in the Bible is a symbol for wisdom, for wisdom. And so just as the Lord said, I want to give you a new heart so that you will begin to desire me above all things, the Lord also wants to give us a new mind. And so the pearl is a sign or an image of wisdom and that new mind that the Lord can give us. Oh, church, our mind is a battleground for ideas. The world and all sorts of folks in the world, whether they be politicians or marketers people who write commercials, everybody wants access to that mind of ours to get us to think with them. Well, why not God? You see, we will read the news, we will study science, we will do all sorts of things that will affect our mind. And so this is why a good, heavy, steady diet of the Word of God is so necessary for us. And the pearl is an image for a mind that's being renewed in Christ Jesus. You know, there is just so much stinking thinking in the world. Bad priorities, sinful thoughts that are praised as great virtues, and just so much confusion. And church, if you're not taking a steady diet of the Word of God, you're going to be confused and your mind is going to be polluted. And how do we clean a dirty sponge? Because our minds are like a sponge. How do we do it? We plunge that sponge into clean water and wring it out, and back into the clean water and we wring it out. And that's the Word of God. And what a magnificent treasure. Cardinal Lorenzo was at a conference some years ago, and Cardinal Lorenzo held up a Bible and said, "This is the Word of God. This is the pearl of great price. If you do not have a Bible, go and sell all that you have and buy one." God's wisdom. To thirst for truth. To long to be taught by God so that my priorities become better, my thoughts more holy, my thoughts more pure, that my thoughts become more truthful. Such a gift. And so these two images of the kingdom, the new mind, so that we think more like God and have godly thoughts in our mind, and likewise, the gift of a new heart, so that in that secret place, I long for God, I yearn for Him, and I'm beginning to experience His power and His presence there. And oh, my heart begins to long and come alive. And you see again, there's a battleground in both these areas, isn't there? First of all, for our mind, you know, it is amazing what goes on in our mind. You know, if we're not careful, you know, just any dumb thought, and there it is, you know. And you know, you turn on the radio just trying to, and there's like 4-hour conversation going on the radio about whether the quarterback will be this way or that way. And you're like, okay, maybe how about 2 minutes on that conversation? But you know, so it's not all bad stuff, it's just lots of stuff that at the end doesn't matter that much. And so we spend so much time in that battleground of our mind. And the pearl of great price is just to have our mind set on and stayed on Jesus. I woke up this morning with my mind, and it was stayed on Jesus. See, if you're not careful, you wake up in the morning and your mind is stayed on, I didn't pay that bill. I didn't finish that project. The wrong quarterback is, whoever on the soap opera is in trouble. And no, let the Lord give him the gift of your mind, and that's the pearl of great price. And let His thoughts become your thoughts, and let His truth become what you meditate on. And again, I'm not saying read nothing else. I'm not saying be uninformed, but I'm just saying let the Word of God be that pearl of great price. And every other thought has to give way to it. Only what God thinks. So those are two images for the kingdom, the pearl and the hidden treasure. A new heart and a new mind. Now, here's the danger, though, in this parable. Notice again, not just the picture of the kingdom, but the price. Price. It says that the individuals who stumble on the hidden treasure or the pearl go and joyfully sell everything they have to acquire that hidden treasure of a new heart and that pearl of great price, which is wisdom. Everything must go. Now, but I hope you heard the little word I tucked in there. Joyfully. Joyfully. The text says that the man, having found this, left and with an eager heart went and sold everything he had. Because listen, pay attention. We run the risk of turning this gospel into a moralism. You don't have the right priorities, and you need to start having the right priorities. You don't desire the right things in the right quantities, and you need to start doing that. So you, out of your own flesh power, have better start doing it. And you know, you're discouraged, aren't you? And in 10 minutes, you're back to what's on TV. And that's your preoccupation, rather than let me spend time with God's Word. So the danger here for us is to miss the fact that the Lord isn't saying simply to you and me today, get your heart right. All by yourself. Just work harder, more spiritual push-ups, and you better achieve this or else. The Lord is saying, look into your heart and honestly ask yourself, is God's wisdom really the pearl of great price for me? That I'd be willing to forsake everything else for it, and not just money, but my political ideas or my moral preferences or my attitudes about this or that, that don't, anything that doesn't square with that pearl of great price must go. Now, are you just going to do that all by yourself? And no, the Lord is saying, listen, you come to me and honestly ask yourself, is my heart and my mind, are these really the pearls of great price and that hidden treasure? Do I really want God above all things? And do I really want to pay the price, whatever that is, so that all unholy loves go away in my heart and all unholy thoughts go away in my mind and only God? Now, honestly answer that question. Honestly. And most of us have to be clear. Yeah, I'm kind of with you, God. But there's this other lady I'm seeing too. You know, I love you, Lord, but I'm struggling. There's other things I desire too. Okay. And if that's the honest answer, and I would bet most of us have some of both those things going on, and that is our struggle. But now here comes the solution. Not just, well, straighten up and fly right and be different. Well, that's going to last about 10 minutes, and you're going to get discouraged. God, give me this heart. Give me this heart. Go to him. He's the healer, not the condemner. Whatever you're struggling with, maybe it's a certain sin you don't want to let go of, or a certain attitude or philosophy you just don't want to let go of. Maybe you sense that you are living too high and you should be more generous to the poor. Whatever it is, wherever the struggle points are, you go to God and say, Lord, give me a new heart. Oh, Lord, fix me. Fix me, Lord. Fix me, Jesus. Fix me. Fix me for my long white robe. Fix me for my starry crown. Fix me, Lord. Please, Lord, fix me. You know, my heart isn't always right. In fact, my heart usually isn't right. I need your help, Lord. And the Lord says, I'm so glad you've asked. You see, because I want you to notice the picture that the Lord paints of these men or these individuals who go finding the pearl and finding the treasure. It says they go and joyfully sell all they have. They don't do it because they have to. They do it because they want to. And the Lord can do that in our life. so that we begin to joyfully forsake things that get between us and God. And we start to sing that old hymn, "There's nothing between my soul and the Savior, nothing between." But we got that journey to make. But the Lord wants us to be honest and pray to Him and tell us where the blockages are, where we need some heart surgery, where we need a little bit of bypass surgery going on. You know, and the Lord can do that for us. But go to Him. Again, He's our healer. He's not just hollering at us. He's our healer. And He wants us to be honest. So these images, pearl, the hidden treasure, that are worth more than anything else that this world could ever give. And yet, we have these weird, obtuse hearts that often prefer passing things, passing philosophies, passing points of view to God's eternal truth and His glory and His presence. The Lord needs to work in our heart. Now, let me read to you from a man who made this journey. And his name is St. Paul. And there was a time in Paul's life where he didn't know Jesus. And he even persecuted people who did know Jesus and saw some of them put to death. And Paul was very locked into his own way of thinking. And Paul had a heart that had no sensitivity or empathy for anyone else. He had a zeal for the law, but missed the main point of the law, which is to love God and love God's people. Instead of loving, he killed. And Paul had a heart that was wrong. But Paul met Jesus. And Jesus went to work in his heart. And I don't want you to think that everything happened rapidly for Paul. If you really do the math, you're going to find that St. Paul spent the better part of 10, maybe even 15 years before he started going out and evangelizing. He spent time in the desert, and then he spent time with the community in Antioch, where he became a catechist, and Barnabas took him under his wing, and that community raised him up, just like you've done for me. And then Paul was set out for a missionary journey. But Paul had a journey to make out of a hardness of heart and out of mixed up thinking. And the Lord got to him. And now let me read to you some things that St. Paul said about what was most important in his life. And remember, Paul had to make a journey to get there. Paul says this in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 8. I consider everything else as a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord, for whose sake I have given up everything, and I consider it all rubbish simply so that I can gain Christ. Now again, Paul says he's given up everything, but he doesn't care. All he wants is God. And how did he get there? God had to work that in his life. Paul didn't accomplish that by himself. The Lord gave him that gift. And Paul had to leave aside his preoccupations and his own thinking and his hard heart. He had to leave those behind and let God go to work so that now Paul's running from city to city, starting shouting, "Anastasis, Anastasis, Jesus is risen. He is risen from the dead, and he is the Messiah, and he is Lord." And Paul lives recklessly. He hardly thinks to himself at all. But is he a madman? Is he sad that he can't live in a beautiful palace? No, he's doing it joyfully. I consider everything else rubbish just for the sheer joy of knowing Jesus and preaching his gospel. And he says, woe to me if I don't preach the gospel. Now, again, how did Paul get there? Brethren, he asked, and the Lord went to work. Has anyone here begun to find some freedom and you're starting to leave some stuff behind now? Stuff you thought you couldn't live without? And maybe a sin you thought you couldn't live without and now you're becoming free of it? Maybe it was an addiction to alcohol or some sexual struggle or maybe struggles with anger or a lack of forgiveness and somehow the Lord's just cleared some of that for you? Are you praying with me, church? Does anybody have a testimony? You see, you're making the same journey that St. Paul made. And there will come a day, if it is now, there will come a day when you say, I consider everything else nothing compared to just knowing my Lord, just knowing my Lord. You know, I've met some people at their deathbed. My own father said to me as he lay dying, "Charlie, all I want to do now is go and be with God." See, the Lord had finally gotten him to that place where the pearl of great price was to go home and be with God, and he was willing to leave everything else aside. Are you praying with me? We have a journey to make, and the Lord wants us to be able to say just these very words of St. Paul, not because we're supposed to say them, or it sounds nice, or it looks good on a holy card, but because it's a reality in our life. And St. Paul also understood that in this life there are sufferings. But over and over again, Paul said that suffering produces glory. And the glory is so wonderful that whatever suffering I've got to do to get there, I'm going to do it. And so I'll just give you one of them. He simply says here in 2 Corinthians, Romans 8, "I consider that our sufferings in this present world are not even worth being compared to the glory that waits and will be revealed in us." And he said in today's reading, everything, if you're faithful to Jesus and you know him and you love him, everything works together for good for those who love and trust the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. So if you got some suffering to get through, to get to the kingdom, you say, "Lord, it's worth it. Let's bring it on. Bring it on. If that's what it takes to get to the kingdom, I don't like the suffering, but I love the glory that waits. And Lord, I'll just do it, and I'll do it. Whatever you call me to do, I'll do it." Uh-oh, some of us are retreating in fear now, aren't we? See? But again, the Lord can get us to that point where we're willing to accept even the difficulties, because we do have to take the narrow way of the cross, go over Mount Calvary, over that hill, and into glory. And so I simply say to you today, church, look to your heart. Guard your heart. Be very careful to listen to your heart. And what is it really telling you? Don't just come up with slogans and sayings that somebody else said that aren't really true. What's really going on there? Do you know the Lord? Do you value him above all things and above all people? Do you have that love for the Lord that is absolute and entire? Or are there other things in the way? And if most of us are honest, there are going to be some things that need attending to. Bring it to Jesus. Let him go to work. Let him teach you. Let him begin to clear the path so that one day you'll be able to say, "All I want is you, O Lord. All I want is you." I heard my mother say, "Give me Jesus. You may have all this world. Just give me Jesus. Silver and gold? Nah, I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold." Is that a slogan? Is that a nice song you've heard? Or is it a reality in your life? Really? Ask the Lord, and he'll get us there. Fix me, Lord. Fix me. Amen.